The Valspar Championship on the PGA Tour is tight as we head towards its conclusion. Taylor Moore, 10 under par, along with Jordan Spieth and Adam Shank. They're all 2 shots clear of Tommy Fleetwood, who I'm sure Gowie tipped for the tournament last Thursday. And they've all got about 3 to 4 holes to play there in that tournament. No Aussies in contention. Now, over on the LIV Tour, final round at Tucson in Arizona. Louis Oosthuizen's hit the lead, the South African. 11 under par, he leads. Charles Howell the third by 2 strokes. Brendan Steele's also 2 strokes behind. Now, where's Mark Leishman? Oh, gee, it's been an unhappy final round for the Aussie. Don't tell me he's just dropped another shot, I think, as well here. He's just disappeared from my screen, which is never a good sign. Yep, he's just dropped another shot. He's now 5 under for the tournament. And he is 6 shots off the pace after he started the day with a 2-stroke lead. Well, he's made double bogey at the 10th. Leishman. There's a double bogey. In fact, there's 2 double bogeys in this round. And another 4 bogeys to go with 2 birdies. So the Aussies had an unhappy final round there in Tucson. Now we're going to take, we've got Mossy coming up shortly to talk football. But after that, heroes and villains, still got the $100 gift card to give away and the case of the kombucha, the alcoholic kombucha. So give us a call, 1353 0419 767 272. On the text line, just in your Premier League overnight, Arsenal beat Crystal Palace 4-1, and there were FA Cup quarterfinals, and our semi-finalists have been decided after Brighton beat Grimsby 5-0, and Manchester United came from a goal down to beat Fulham 3-1. In the end, Fulham ended up with, well, 9 men on the bench. They ended up with 9 men after 2 red cards were given out there. So the semi-final draw for the FA Cup has both Manchester teams in action. Brighton playing United and City are up against Sheffield United in the final four. And to break all the football down from the weekend in the A-League, it was highlighted by the Wanderers' 4-0 win over Sydney FC in the Sydney Derby. Mossy, brushed us on Friday, but great to have you back, mate. How are you?
It was the weirdest feeling. I was stuck in the security line at Melbourne Airport, and I got there with plenty of time, and then all of a sudden, 35-minute delay with my bags going through the X-ray machines. So I didn't have my phones with me. I couldn't even contact you.
Are you copying that excuse?
Well, yeah, I'll give Mossy the benefit of the doubt. Give him the benefit of the doubt, for sure. He doesn't. He doesn't miss much. He's on the ball.
You were just bagging him off air.
Never. That's not true. That is not true.
I'm surprised that the phone rang this morning. To be honest, I thought that was it. Done.
Can't do it without you, Mossy. But let's start with the Sydney Derby and what occurred on Saturday night. Because what a performance by the Wanderers and Sydney FC. Gee, that will. Well, how does that affect them going forward? I guess in trying to make this top six.
Well, it's a massive blow, both psychologically and on the table, isn't it, for Sydney FC? But look, we should take nothing away from Western Sydney. I was there on Saturday night, and from up high, Western Sydney just blew Sydney off the park. They were, you know, they were sharp from the start. They were aggressive. They had high energy, everything you'd expect in a derby, and Sydney just couldn't. They just couldn't match the muscle to start with, and that set the platform for Western Sydney to go on and then win the game. And there was some fantastic goals. Leuni was very clinical, and young Callum Neuenhoff, ex-Sydney FC player, Northern Beaches boy, Manly United junior, scored a wonderful goal from outside the box in the 62nd minute. But really, if you look at the statistics, Sydney had more shots, 23 to 12. They had more shots on target, 8 to 7. And they had more possession, 60% to 40%. So, you know, you'd have to call it a very clinical performance from Western Sydney Wanderers. But, it was an emphatic victory despite those statistics.
Yeah, that's a big victory, isn't it? And a local derby, Mossy. They'd be extremely disappointed with that, the Sydney FC. But the Wanderers to you, are they like the real deal? I mean, you've got Melbourne City, obviously, but are they the sort of the team that most likely will challenge them?
Well, they're building towards it, definitely, Loz. I think you'd probably put Adelaide just above them at the moment as real title contenders to challenge Melbourne City, who, of course, were held to a draw away to Macarthur last night. So that sort of put a little bit of a dent in Melbourne City's lead at the top. But Adelaide, for me, they've scored something like 20, I think it's 22 goals in the last five or six games. They are absolutely on fire, and they've got a great mix of youth and experience. They've got goal scorers, not just the one goal scorer, but goals are coming from everywhere. So I'd still have Adelaide above Western Sydney, but they are definitely building. And what I love about Western Sydney is they've got real leaders, like Marcello stands out. Lawrence Thomas pulled off some big saves the other night. Sydney had their chances, and Thomas stood really tall at the back for them. So they've got the flair players, they've got the grunt work in midfield, and they've got the leadership as well.
What about the Mariners, buddy? How are they travelling?
Well, they didn't travel too well yesterday down in Melbourne. Victory. Mm. Yeah, they did, and I tipped that upset, and it was an upset as far as odds and position on the ladder go. Of course, Melbourne Victory are last. But I just sense that they're too good a side on paper not to get it right occasionally in the lead, in the run-in, and Victory did it yesterday. And Romero went from hero to zero. Actually, there's a poem in there. Hero to zero, Romero. Anyway, he scored a goal and then he got a red card. So, but Victory went on and won the game. So big win. It keeps them last, but puts them, I think, within 2 points of getting off the bottom of the table.
Let's go overseas to the UK, and Arsenal just putting a bit of a gap on Manchester City, although City played in the FA Cup on the weekend, and Erling Haaland, what was it, five goals? He had five goals against Leipzig in the Champions League, more goals in the FA Cup on the weekend. I mean, it's now getting to the point, where are we putting him in the echelons of strikers we've seen in the Premier League?
Well, it's very disappointing. He only scored a hat-trick in that FA Cup final. But yeah, look, it defies belief. I think he's around the 40 goal mark now, maybe just over 40 goals in his first season. And I want to emphasise that point because it's his first season of English football. And usually you just don't get foreign players coming to the Premier League and the FA Cup and slotting in that seamlessly. So it puts him in the top echelon of strikers to ever grace the EPL, of course. But that was an emphatic win for Manchester City. And you mentioned while we're on the FA Cup, let's stay there, because Manchester United and Fulham, that just went completely nuts in the 72nd minute this morning. I think I heard you mentioning it on air just before I came on, Mido, so I won't go into too much detail, but three red cards, including the manager, in the space of a minute.
Yeah, okay. So what happened with the manager?
Well, when the referee went over to check the VAR for the handball, which led to the penalty, the manager, Marco Silva, obviously said something to the referee, and while he was over there, he brandished a red card. So it must have been pretty vicious to get a straight red card. Usually managers are cautioned with a yellow, but he got the straight red. So he was up in the grandstand, and then, of course, Villian got red carded for the handball, and then Alexander Mitrovic, he's in big trouble. He scored the opener. But then he went and remonstrated with the referee, and it looks like he shoved the referee as well and got his head close to the referee. I'm not claiming a headbutt, but he's in hot water. There's no doubt about it.
Mossy, I know with the Premier League, we're always talking about the Arsenals and the Man Cities, Man United's teams that are always up there challenging. But what about down the bottom of the competition table for relegation? I mean, what is it, 9 or 10 sides that could still possibly end up going down?
You got 4 points separating 12th to 20th, Loz. It's ridiculous. It's incredible. And it makes for an unbelievable back end of the season. So if you look at Crystal Palace in 12th spot, who were obviously put to the sword overnight by Arsenal 4-1. And that gave Arsenal a real psychological advantage because they now go 69 points, so 8 points clear of Manchester City, who couldn't play over the weekend. But down the bottom end as well, you had the likes of Leicester picked up a point. Southampton picked up a point. Leeds picked up 3 points. Everton picked up a point. So they're all staying in touch with each other over the weekend. And, of course, Bournemouth didn't play because of the FA Cup. So they weren't able, and West Ham as well, weren't able to pick up anything over the weekend. So it is so tight. It's incredible. Eight spots on the ladder separated by a win and a draw. Incredible.
Now, last week, the news came through that the World Cup format, and you've been very vocal on 48 teams, Mossy, but in 2026, so it's going back to four-team groups. So 12 four-team groups, a round of 32 stage, more matches, more cash for FIFA, of course. But I know that, you know, we could end up seeing some lopsided results, etc., some countries there that probably don't deserve to be. But overall, as far as the Socceroos and where we sit is concerned, on face value, this has the potential to be beneficial for us, doesn't it?
Well, of course. It makes for what you would term an easier path to the World Cup, of course, because AFC, Asian Football Confederation, gets, I think it's another four spots on the 4.5 that we've already got. So there's 8.5 spots. So that makes the route to get there a little bit simpler. Although there's still a lot of games to play, but you know, there'll be teams in there that we should comfortably beat, and then the tournament itself will, you know, if that's the format, and we've just got to prepare for that once we get there. But you know, you can't take anything for granted. Even East Asia, they are spending a lot of money developing their teams, so and the conditions, the away conditions, make it very tricky. And of course, you know, we navigated that well in the last World Cup qualifying campaign because we played a lot of games away from home. I think only 3 or 4 at home in the whole campaign. So we're used to travelling. We're used to taking in those conditions. But, 48 teams, I'll keep my powder dry on whether that becomes a better tournament than what we've had with 32 teams. But the World Cup's a World Cup, so I'm sure it'll be a show when we get there.
Do you know much about this young Alexander Robinson who was selected in the Socceroos?
Yeah, I do. He's a great, great lad. Comes from a wonderful family. Third generation to play for the Socceroos, which I think is a wonderful story in itself. And he's at Manchester City playing in the reserves, getting a couple of sniffs here and there in the first team with League Cup games and so forth. And, you know, his grandfather actually coached me at one stage of my career. I can't even remember how long ago that was. But, he comes from great stock. And it's great to see a kid like that who has Scottish heritage, you know, put his money into the Socceroos and say, that's who I want to play for. And I think, you know, given his grandfather and father also played for the Socceroos, I think that helps. But he's a real talent, and it's great to see Graham Arnold bring him into camp for this Ecuador series.
You've made up for it, Mossy. You were good this morning.
On point, huh?
Go and work on that poetry.
You didn't like that one, Clarky?
That was Loz sledging
at me. Oh, Loz, sorry. There you go.
How do you feel about that, Loz?
There's a bit more work, Mossy.
Hero to zero, Ramiro. Mm.
Oh, dear.
Thank you, Mossy.
What do they say about preparation, Mossy? By preparing.
Exactly. Overrated. That's what they say.
See you, boys.
See you, buddy. Have a great week, mate. Ray, good morning.
Morning, fellas. How are we?
Yeah, really well, thanks. What have you got for us?
Oh, I just thought that there's a great road trip you guys could do. There's a camel races out at Maree. I've been out there. My dad grew up there as a kid, so I went out there to have a look at the place and went to the camel races, and I'm pretty sure the Birdsville races are about a week after it or something. So
where's Maree, Ray?
It's where the Birdsville and the Undadatta track meet out in the middle of the desert, up from the Flinders Ranges. So it's about a, I don't know, 4 to 6 hour drive out of Adelaide up the Flinders Ranges out to Maree.
And do you know much about the camel racing?
Well, it was about as much as we know. Yeah, I'm about as much as you guys know. Right. I'm a great expert at it. The first race, the one I backed, there was four in the race, and the one I backed stayed there. The other three finished, and it was still at the start.
Just didn't want to move.
Sounds like our
didn't handle the conditions. Didn't handle the sand.
Just another way to lose your money. Actually, it was named after my mate's son. And it did about as much as my mate's son was doing as a 14-year-old.
Was it fun?
Oh, it was a great day. Yeah. Like, because out of Maree, they make a weekend of it. Like, the pub gets packed. It's the only place in town.
Yep.
Great settlement out there of the three different the local indigenous, the white fellas, and the Afghan tribes out there with the camels.
Yeah, right. How many races did they have?
Oh, I think there was about half a dozen races. There was bookies. They covered some of the weekend races, like the Sydney or Melbourne.
Oh, Roddy, yeah. But like the camel racing, do they have big fields or is it always small fields?
Oh, I think there was about four in a race.
Right.
So, but yeah, I think the key is with the camel. One thing I heard was, if there's a pack of camels, the lead camel's the one you want to be on because the others won't go past it.
Have to run record
time.
You're
the leader of the pack.
Got to jump and go.
Is the dude faster than the female? Who's quicker, male or female?
No idea. I think that just depends on the day.
Okay.
Okay, Marie, it's MA.
So we want someone to get out of the barrier quick. That's what we're looking for.
What's the double hump camel versus the single hump camel? Is that male? Is that male or female?
No idea. I don't even know it's for comfort for the rider either.
Apart from you can double someone if you've got a double hump.
Too much weight.
Yeah. You can bring your mate.
The thing you were talking about before, how do you float the camel? Is that to do, like, so it's towing the camel? Is that the camel toe?
That's what I'm asking. How do you tow the camel? How do we lug it to our destination?
We just pull it on the float. Away we go.
We're not getting on a horse float unless you cut the top for its head to hang out.
I've never seen
that's called the camel toe, isn't it?
Must be.
All right, you people.
You've got to tow the camel.
Thank you, Ray. I'm just looking at where Mari is.
Yeah, where is it?
So 600 k's north.
We're going to
of
e-bike there, Michael.
Oh, I'm trying to think. How are we getting our stock there? How are we getting our camel there?
We'll just buy one there.
Home ground advantage.
Yeah,
100%. We're going to have to buy one from there. Okay.
100%.
Something near Lake Eyre. Oh, it'd be awesome. Sean, morning. Thanks for the call, Ray, by the way. Sean, g'day, mate. How are you?
Mate, good, but I don't have a camel's on back, plenty of donkeys. I know that one.
Makes all of us.
Good, yeah, Nick.
Another way to blow your money, mate.
Oh. Mate, I'm not
camel racing.
Oh, my God.
That's it. Always away.
What do you got?
Mate, my hero's just been, I went to the races for the first time in a long time on the weekend. And I'm friends with the connections of Jim Martini, which saluted, which is even better. So then. Mate, they're my heroes to get me to the races. And, mate, I had a great day. It's such a good day. I can't praise them enough for letting me go with them and just.
There's a good crowd out there, too, Sean.
Mate, it was amazing. Yeah. It was just so, so good. So
did you go and see Panao?
No, we gone by the end of the ninth race. We had enough. So.
Fair enough.
But my villain this week is I'm Thunderstruck. I will never, ever, ever back it again. Mate, I'm done with it. I really am.
I understand. It's not sure it's going as well for sure, but, you know.
I don't think so either.
You know, Loz and I have done this with a couple of horses. As soon as you get off, they start to win. But at the same time, I don't know if it's going as good. But no, good on you, Sean.
Thanks, guys.
Get the game you want when you want this NRL season on KO. 120 NRL games exclusive to Fox League available on KO. New to KO, start your free trial. Lots of techs here. Hero Chris Wallop proved what a champion trainer he is by defying the critics with his first slipper winner. Could train a camouflage donkey to win that camel race. Villain Melbourne Storm for complaining about Nelson Asofa Solomona's injury. Haven't they heard of karma? Cheers, Graham. My heroes are my two sons, aged 4 and 2, who I took to the slipper because I couldn't find a babysitter, sat like absolute champions and ran out to the fence when the races came on, then telling me I need to buy a horse like Enemo. And Villain, well, I got to give it to my bunny. He's got 10-0 up and couldn't keep the pressure on. Cheers, Rosering. Glad you and your sons had a great day there, trackside on Saturday. My hero's Ryan Moore, my villain, all the barbers who entertain these footballers with their ridiculous haircut, straight fringe, shaved sides, and long at the back. It says Anthony from, it's pronounced now, the locals will, I'm sure, roll their eyes here. It's Wonji, isn't it?
Don't ask me. Do we know where Wonji is?
I'll look it up. I'll do the weather for it tomorrow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right, yeah.
Hero Chris Waller on becoming the Grand Slam of racing winner. Villain, those for their comments after towards Kyle Filt after the Cowboys lost to the Warriors. Cheers, Dave from Taree. I think I saw an article in the paper today that Kyle Felt's partner or wife has come out and slammed those who were getting stuck into him on social media. And good on her, because the players certainly cop some rubbish on social media, no doubt about that. But we've got Kerry on the line now. G'day, Kerry. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Blake?
Yeah, really good. Thanks, mate. What have you got for us?
Well, I was ahead of the camel races in Forbes for the last 8 years. I just wanted to talk about them if I can.
Yeah, sure. In Forbes, you said, did you? Your line Forbes, just cut out a bit there. Sorry.
Yeah. In Forbes, yep. So we started out having them in 2001 on a sad day. And then a few years later, we decided to go Good Friday because there wasn't much opposition.
Well, that's a decent call out. You still got a big crowd?
Is it popular, Kerry?
Well, it has been out here. We've had up to 6,000 people at our camel race in Forbes.
Wow. How many races do you have on the program?
We used to have about 7 or 8, and we'd have about 30 camels come, and they'd come from Rockhampton, South Australia, Victoria and Newcastle.
Right. And could you... So it's a very small field then, each camel race?
We used to have 8 in the field, yeah.
All right, Al. Do camels back up and race again?
Yeah, that's right. They'd have a couple of runs each time, which is not too bad. They go over 400 metres, so...
You wouldn't want to be backing him second or third up. Get on him early if he was doubling up.
Yeah, well, actually, they're a bit... bit hard to back because they'd go from the inside to the outside fence 3 or 4 times coming down the straight.
Right.
Some would turn around and go back the other way and things like that. So the crowd was entertained. That's what it was all about. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Sounds like you
walking
down
the road. Like there's more places have camel races than we ever even thought of.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean to say, we stopped because of the pandemic, and I don't think we'll get going again. I don't think it'll be feasible, so that's a bit sad. But we used to, have a committee of 2 people, which were myself and my secretary, but we used to farm everything out to charities and things like that, so they all made money in that on the day as well.
Oh, I can only imagine how the local community would come together for an event like that.
Sporting committees, charities, schools and all those sort of things. And we'd have stalls and that there, like face painting and people selling stuff and things like that. So, it was just, an awesome day.
Well, I hope you can get it back.
I don't know. Everybody's getting older. That's the trouble.
Yeah.
But I mean to say, the bloke Richo from Rockhampton, it was 24 hours to get here and 24 hours to get home.
Oh
so
God.
It's a big effort.
That's a great effort.
But I'd also like to say, like, the racehorses and that get pampered and that, but these camels, the love and affection those people had for those camels was amazing.
No doubt.
Actually amazing. And, of course, the jockeys and that and the people riding them, they were only youngsters sometimes, but to get past that post first, they were that excited. It was unbelievable.
Great stuff, Kerry. Thanks for giving us a call, mate. Appreciate it.
Yeah, anyway, heroes I've got down as all the jockeys, with what's been going on the last few months.
Yeah.
There's been a few falls and things like that. So, I mean to say, it can happen in a split second. And my villain is the NRL for having the football on in the daytime in this heat. Why can't they all be night matches for the first 6 rounds?
Well, I guess you've got to schedule them in, don't you? And you've got to do it for TV, so...
Yeah, but they're talking about player welfare all the time, aren't they?
Yeah, look... It's...
So, sort of counteracts the other, doesn't it?
Mm.
Point.
Yeah,
fair call. Good on you, Kerry. Appreciate it. Keep them coming. 13:53:53. There's another one here from Dossie down your way, Loz. Morning team, Loz. There's an untried 15-year-old one-hum camel grazing on the little river just out of Tumut. The owners would probably pay the syndicate to take it away, says Dossie.
So I reckon there's more camels than what we know, boys, out there.
What do you mean?
People are prepared to travel with their camels.
You mean camel racing?
No, just camels in general, but people that would use their camels as a race. Mm. But there's a lot of races that we don't know about. I'd never heard of the camel racing at Forbes.
Duffy says there's one at Narrabri every October long weekend as well. Plus, they've had goats racing, says Duffy there at Narrabri. We got Peter. G'day, Peter.
Boys, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Thanks, mate. You got a hero or villain?
hero. I'll give it to Andrew Webster, the Warriors coach. Great job so far.
Mm.
10 minutes in our game on Saturday, they're up in North Queensland in the heat, concede two early tries and don't concede another point. They couldn't have played a better game.
They were great.
They were awesome. Sean Johnson's playing pretty well as well, which has been obviously crucial for them. What about your villain?
Boys, I don't know if it's a villain, but I'm a West Tigers supporter. And I think what kills you most as a West Tigers supporter is hope, because yesterday for 60 minutes I sat there, cried in my beer as normal, and in 4 minutes I jumped up and got excited.
How true is that?
And then the last 8 minutes was rubbish again, and I'm going, oh, not again.
How true is that?
Yeah. Good on you, Peter.
We'll be back next week.
Suffering already, you Tigers fans, eh? Gosh, it's 3 weeks in.
Been three good ones,
just,
huh?
This feels like it's last year all over again.
Yep. Hasn't been a good start at all.
On the text line, hero Jason Belmonte winning the PBA Tournament of Champions in America this morning. His 15th major and 31st PBA title. Yeah, he's been a 10-pin bowling legend. That's for sure. Jason Belmonte, villain, whoever made the draw up for the NRL, giving Parra the worst draw ever. Ron from Seven Hills. Sending that one through. Yeah, gee, they've had a tough draw to start the year. No doubt about that, Parramatta.
My God.
What's happened here,
I think
pup?
I've just seen the worst dismissal ever in cricket.
That's a
New
huge
Zealand
call.
V Sri Lanka. Angelo Matthews played over 100 test matches. Very good player. New Zealand have got a bat pad, a man catching at square leg, a leg gully, and then another man behind the bloke at square leg. So every ball is a bouncer. He's tried to take the pull shot on and hit it straight to one of the seven fielders that were fielding then. Dude, I reckon you're allowed to play another shot where there's no fielders. Hit it over the slips, hit it over the keeper's head, duck, block. Have a look at the field.
Yeah, you know what
they're
doing.
He's hit it straight to the closest square leg fielder.
I've never seen a field like
that.
It's incredible, isn't it? You've got three blokes standing behind each other.
Yep.
At all on pad.
Or just in front of that square leg, so because you're only allowed two behind square, so they've obviously got a fine leg, a leg gully. So every ball, bowling round the wicket, every ball's a bouncer. He still tried to take it on.
Yeah.
On, I think he was on 4 runs. Different if he's on 100. He'll be disappointed with that. Sri Lanka, struggling.
Here's another villain for you. New South Wales cricket, Clark.
Oh, let's not talk about that. We didn't win a game, did we?
Winless. Okay, how many winless? I'm just looking at this courtesy of the Fox Sports Lab.
Mm-hmm.
Their second winless season ever in Sheffield Shield this season that we've just had.
Trouble.
The only other time it's ever happened is 1938-39.
Yeah. Well, I hate to say it, but I know we have high standards at New South Wales, and there is a saying, when New South Wales cricket's strong, Australian cricket's strong, and you still look at the Australian team, the Test match team, there's a lot of New South Wales players. But I don't think, for a while now, I don't think we've been performing consistently enough in, I'll say, all formats. I'll say the one-day comp, Sheffield Shield, even the BBL, the Sixers and the Thunder. And maybe I've got extra high standards. I expect us to be at the top of the tree always, every single year, consistently. And I don't think we've been good enough. So, yeah, we need to... they sacked Phil Jakes, who's coach. They've got to appoint a full-time head coach, but I think they've got to look even deeper. They've got to look at grade cricket, because I think, you know, talking to Michael Swan, who's president of Western Suburbs, he thinks grade cricket in general has declined. It's nowhere near as strong as it used to be. So whether it's school cricket, club cricket, grade cricket, and then New South Wales, our first-class cricket, we need to be making some improvements.
Big day at Scone today. It is the Northern New Haven Park Country Championships wildcard, and this was postponed from yesterday due to the forecast very hot conditions. They moved it from Sunday to Monday there at Scone, and there's been a change at the top of the market here as well. In fact, it's just changed again, actually. So Tal Brigar remains favourite. In fact, after Liz Tamania was favourite just before. So Tal Brigar from gate 13 today, $4.40. And that's for Cody Morgan and Aaron Bullock. Liz Tamania has the inside gate. has just gone $5 into $4.60. So challenging for favouritism for Aiden St. Vincent and Ash Morgan in the saddle there for the wild card today. Last chance saloon to get into the big final on day one of the championships there for these runners. Big, big field there at Scone today. We've got punters post-mortem coming up shortly, and I believe we've got Ron Duffy there. Duff, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, guys.
Great day's racing. Slipper day. Firstly, Shinzo. What did you make of the performance as Chris Waller wins his first slipper?
Yeah, marvellous performance, considering the situation. He had to force his way in the field the week before. He still had something up the sleeve, and the timing, typical Chris Waller timing, was absolutely perfect because the week before, you know, the filly ran much faster time with him and looked better. But they didn't factor into the count that what he did that day, coming from well back when it was hard to make up ground. So that all fell into place with the perfect timing to peak him on the right day. It was an incredible achievement and a deserved winner.
What about Dubai Honor, Duff? I mean, William Haggis just knows what horse to bring over here.
Wow, what a horse. He made good horses look second rate. He really laid the cards on the table to Animo as far as the Queen Elizabeth's concerned, and he'll have a lot of supporters, and understandably so. He showed good racing sense, put himself into a position, and just raced away, sizzling home the last 600. In comparison to the day, I thought it was excellent. So, top-class horse, and this is shaping up as a magnificent clash, or maybe not. We might see one of the Japanese turn up there and have something to say as well.
But NMO was superb. 9 Group 1s in the George Ryder there on Saturday, as you mentioned, setting this up for the Queen Elizabeth. But I heard some of your comments on the ride from James McDonald yesterday and just doing everything right when he had to from that gate.
Yep, he was a marked man, and he took his medicine and didn't panic. He could have dragged back looking for cover, and that would have been a no-no. He could have went forward and used him up. That would have been a no-no. So, like I said, he had to take his medicine, and he did, and it worked. And he, look, it's a bunch finish, but that's Animo. We all want to pull holes in him when he wins by short margins, thinking he's going to get beat next time, but he doesn't. He's just a complete racehorse.
And I'm sure you were glued to Hong Kong last night, Duff, and we saw a couple of those champion jockeys racing there, and J-Mac took the Group 1, and Ryan Moore very nearly took the Hong Kong Derby as well.
Yeah, J-Mac on a terrific sprinter, and the Derby, well, that was a bit of an upset with the winner of that. Probably regarded more of a sprinting type, but no, he gets the job done after covering ground. So, exciting day for Hong Kong racing yesterday as well, but we move on to next week with the Tancred and at Rose Hill for the last time, and looking forward to that.
Bring it on, Duff. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Punters Postmortem, big show coming up shortly, and we've got to give a winner out for Heroes and Villains this morning as well. Going to give it to Jacob, who made his hero, Blake Johnston, who surfed for 40 hours there at Cronulla.
Raised
a lot of money for mental health as well. So outstanding performance. And his villain was the Cowboys, who have been average to start the season. And I think
did you have
we're
him
all
in the GF?
Yes.
I think Loz did as well, didn't he? Did you have him in the GF?
No, I didn't. No? I didn't pick a grand. I had picked a winner. I had the Roosters winning it. And I had the Cowboys in my top four.
Top four.
But again, early in the season.
What's going on there, you reckon?
Oh, their second half performances have been terrible. I think they've only scored 7 points in the second half in 3 games. There was a stat I read somewhere. They got the Titans this weekend. If they fail against the Titans, let's have the conversation about the Cowboys, because there will be something going on if that's the case. They get beaten this weekend at home.
And as we finish today, it looks like in the LIV Tour, there's a 3-way, maybe even a 4-way playoff going on. Well, you've got it. 9 under par, Denny Lee, Brendan Steele, Carlos Ortiz and Louis Oosthuizen. Anyway, we'll clean that up for you tomorrow, but you go and have a great Monday, everyone. Catch you tomorrow. Buddy.